think what makes the Dust Bowl different from some of Ken's other work is it's really an intimate oral history, more so than any film he's ever made. We went out and met a lot of people who had lived through the Dust Bowl. They were children, teenagers, some were young adults. And you become drawn into their stories.
So I'd like to hear a little bit more about the process behind making this film. Also, what role you played in the production.
Well, I was one of three producers. Ken Burns, Dayton Duncan, and I produced the film. And we had a multifaceted approach to trying to find people. We had Ken broadcast on-air appeals at all the local PBS stations saying, please send us your stories, your photos, contact your local station. And so the following fall and winter, we did about 30 interviews of eyewitnesses, as well as interviews of some historians. The music in this film, we used church hymns from the period, radio music people would have been familiar with, and of course, Woody Guthrie is a big part of this story as well.
Can you talk to that a little bit more?
The Woody Guthrie story?
Yeah.
The film is divided into two episodes, and the first episode covers the great plow-up of the Southern Plains. Then, of course, the drought and the depression hit. And then we cover the first dust storms and some of the desperation. And we end the first episode on Black Sunday, April 14th, 1935, which was the worst storm of all. And there was a young singer-songwriter who waited out the storm with friends and family in a small house in Pampa, Texas. And everybody was so convinced that the world was ending, and they were all saying, well, we'll see you in the next world, that this young singer-songwriter wrote a song called So Long, It's Been Good to Know You. And that's how we end the first episode. And of course, the singer-songwriter was Woody Guthrie. So his music is not only background music, we also tell a little bit of his story, you know, where what he was doing, how he was so important to all those people who were displaced.
I hear that in addition to all the interviews and photographs and different movie clips you guys have included in the documentary, there's also this morality tale that's included. Can you tell me more about what that means?
I think the lesson you walk away with, and we let our survivors teach that lesson, is that, well, there's human nature and there's Mother Nature, and Mother Nature is always going to win. You know, we didn't plan to plow up the second biggest ecosystem in North America and ruin it. It was because of a whole lot of things that are innate to humans, and the combination of a wet cycle, a world war in Europe when Russian wheat was not available to the Allies, all conspired to create a classic American boom, which allowed farmers and families who had never owned anything, allowed them to prosper and have their own land. It's not something you blame people for. And so when a decade-long drought started, Mother Nature struck back with a vengeance over the course of those 10 years. The morality tale, I think, is that we need to listen a little bit more. There's a reason buffalo grass was there, holding that soil in place.
In the production of this film, what surprised you? What did you learn?
One of the things that surprised me was the magnitude of the crisis. Not only was it a decade long, but the environmental devastation that occurred. Some of these storms were 2 or 3 miles long and a mile high. You would see just this mountain of dirt rolling toward you. There was one storm in 1934 that blew as much dirt as the United States had excavated in the decade it took to dig the Panama Canal. And actually, it wasn't as much dirt. It was twice as much dirt. And in that storm, ships 300 miles out at sea had dust, dirt on their decks. Chicago had 4 inches dumped on the city. Franklin Roosevelt could sit in the Oval Office, put his finger on his desk, and have a little bit of Oklahoma and New Mexico on his finger. And that's when the rest of the country started to pay attention. The magnitude of these storms astonished me. And it wasn't just one storm. It was storm after storm after storm for 10 years.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Julie.
I'm very happy to be here.